Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the New Testament, we read about a man named Melchizedek. To many, he's a very mysterious creature, but he has a place of significance in God's scheme of things. Now, what does Scripture reveal about him, and why is he so important? In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 4, in reference to him, it says, "Now consider how great this man was." Well, Melchizedek is mentioned about 11 times in 5 chapters from 3 biblical books, Genesis and Psalms and the book of Hebrews. And we first read about him in Genesis upon the occasion when Abraham was returning from having rescued Lot and the defeat of 5 kings by Abraham's private army along with some other allies. Abraham met Melchizedek and was blessed by Melchizedek. Melchizedek received tithes of the spoils that Abraham had taken from the victory that he had won. Well, evidently Melchizedek is greater than Abraham and of higher spiritual rank than Abraham because of what took place. And this gives additional stature to Melchizedek because, after all, Abraham was called the friend of God in James chapter 2. Now, Hebrews chapter 7 takes on significance in this study. It says, "And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." Abraham was the less, and he was blessed by Melchizedek the better. And this ranking is of importance. Melchizedek is called the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, which is the meaning of the word Salem. But he was also a priest of God. Now, Salem was probably the territory in and around Jerusalem, because the Psalms says in Psalm 76, "Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion." Zion is, of course, another name for Jerusalem. But the location of Salem is not of paramount importance. From his association with Abraham, we know that he lived in the days of the patriarchs. This was an age when the fathers of the families served as the priests before God, making intercession, offering the sacrifices, generally responsible for the family before God. Melchizedek, however, must have been somewhat superior and special, in that he was designated as a priest of God, which indicates something other than and more than simply being a father or priest role, more than the ordinary patriarchal priest. Now, Hebrews chapter 7 informs us something rather strange about Melchizedek. It tells us that he was without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but was made like unto the Son of God. Now, what is said of him is not to be understood literally, but denotes a special quality about him. In other words, he was not a miraculously produced person. That is, he was not without parents. The idea conveyed here is in light of the genealogy that was required for one to be a priest under the Mosaic system. Melchizedek did not have a genealogical record like the Levitical priest. And this statement is made in the context of the contrast between Melchizedek and the priests of the tribe of Levi. The Levitical priesthood was based on inheritance, but it was not so regarding Melchizedek. He had been especially called of God and was of special order. Nor did he have a successor in his priesthood. And the significance of this characteristic is seen when there is a comparison made with Melchizedek and Christ. In Psalm 110 and verse 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, this verse is here in this psalm, a prophetic psalm concerning the coming of the Messiah. And it is quoted several times in the New Testament with reference to Christ. It is said of Christ, "Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek," Hebrews 7:17. A direct quotation of Psalm 110, verse 4. Now, this prophecy was a denotation of the nature of the priesthood of the Messiah. Now, the purpose of the Hebrew epistle It was to counter false teaching and Judaizing teachers. Some Jews had become Christians, but they were being tempted and being led back to forsake Christ and return to the old law that had already been nailed to the cross and taken out of the way. And they were trying to mix the two religions of Judaism and Christianity, retaining certain distinctive Jewish rituals such as circumcision. And the false teachers had been too successful. The letter of Hebrews was penned in order to prevent further erosion from the faith by showing the superiority of Christ and his priesthood. And this was done by comparing the priesthood of Christ with Melchizedek and Melchizedek with the Aaronic, the Levitical, priesthood. Now Melchizedek was superior to the priest that came from Aaron. Christ was a priest after Melchizedek's order. Therefore, he was superior to the priest of the old order under the law of Moses. Now, Hebrews shows how that the Old Testament, the old law, even the old priesthood under the law, it pointed toward Christ. This inspired book was not a mere record of the past. It was not simply a preview of things to come, although it was both. But it was to show Melchizedek as a type. He was a pre-picture of the Christ. Now, the priesthood of Christ was new. It was unique. It was distinct from that which existed under the law of Moses and with the Levitical priesthood. Jesus was not born of the priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi. For him to be a priest, therefore, there had to be a change in the law, Hebrews chapter 7. And there was a change of the law. And because of that change, we're not under that old Mosaic law. And because of that change, Christ is priest. And Christ is superior to the Levitical priest, just as Melchizedek was superior to the priesthood that was to come under Moses. Now, this is proven by the fact that the Levitical priesthood came from Abraham, through Isaac, and through Jacob. Inasmuch as Melchizedek took tithes of Abraham, so in him did the Levitical priesthood give tithes to Melchizedek. As noted earlier, the lesser pays to the greater. Christ is after the order of the greater. Therefore, Christ is superior. Now, this argument should persuade any person contemplating a return from Christ back to the old law not to leave the greater for the lesser. The priesthood of Christ, it's greater because of the unchangeable law. Only one sacrifice was sufficient, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. He is the perfect priest, verse 28. He is eternal. Again, verse 28, and his priesthood will continue, whereas under the old system, there were many priests, one succeeding after the other, and it was to be terminated when the Lord Jesus came. Now, the system of Christ, friend, is characterized as a better covenant. It's a better testament. It gives a better hope, with better promises, because of the better sacrifice. And that sacrifice, of course, was Christ Jesus himself. Now, it becomes now very apparent that the role of Melchizedek in his life was to serve as a type of the Christ that was promised to come. Let me emphasize this because this is emphatic in the book of Hebrews. Melchizedek was both king and priest, friend, at the same time. And Jesus Christ serves as both king and priest, and that at the same time. And that, of course, was prophesied by Zechariah, chapter 6, and verse 13. Christ is priest now, friend, 1 John 2, and verse 1, and then the book of Hebrews emphasizes that. His kingdom, which is the church, it exists now. He is priest and king now. And if he is priest, of which there can be no doubt, he is king now, And that, of course, refutes the false doctrine that Christ has not yet established his kingdom, like the premillennial theory will have people to believe. Now, the truth regarding the priesthood and the kingship of Christ is one of several scriptural positions that strikes down this false doctrine of premillennialism. And we can ask other questions, of course, about this notable man of the Old Testament, for which we do not have any answer. And one area of speculation that people have entered into is to try to identify him in some way as some man about whom we might read some other place. Some have said Melchizedek might have been Shem or Ham or some survivor of the flood. There's no evidence to suggest that. Others said he was a special angel. No evidence to suggest that. Some have even suggested that he was the second person of the Godhead, who later became flesh. No evidence to support that. And even the Holy Spirit. There's no evidence to support that. We should not engage in speculation about things of which the Bible does not reveal. If God wanted us to know certain things, he would have told us. Let's be content with what God has revealed. Suffice it to say that these are just vain speculations concerning him as the distinct individual that he was. But he had a distinct purpose, and he had a distinct mission. And this mission is assigned to us by Scripture, and so we just leave it there. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto God. The things that are revealed, that's what belongs to us." And that certainly is applicable with the identification of Melchizedek. Now, true enough, what we have is not a complete biography, neither of Christ or of Melchizedek. But we have those things that matter for our eternity, that matter concerning the revelation of Christ, that tell us about his nature and his priesthood, that matter in God's plan for our salvation. We have sufficiency to provide evidence for our faith, knowing that God's hand is in it all. And of Melchizedek, he breaks forth suddenly, he appears momentarily, then retires without a trace except with the comparison to Christ. He is cited as the type of the Messiah. He serves to help us to explain Christ as priest, as king. But more important than all of that, he serves to show to us the superiority of Jesus Christ, of all of that which has gone before. And certainly there shall be nothing to arise in the future that will surpass the superiority of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible student, of course, is content with what God has revealed. Friend, God has shown to us how that these people who were contending to go back to the law of Moses would be making a fatal spiritual mistake. They would be leaving the superior, to go back to the inferior. And this book tells us about Melchizedek. This Bible tells us of one who was superior to the Levitical priesthood, and he was the type of the Savior that was to come. We rejoice and we praise Melchizedek because of his role in God's plan, but his greatness is because of the greatness of Jesus Christ. He is the King, he is the priest, and it is to him that we look for our salvation. We simply need to submit our will to the will of the Lord Jesus, because after all, the Lord came to do his will, and he did his will. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.